Much Finding in the Marsh. With Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horne, Sam Coster, Morris Denham, Diana Morrison, Barbara Lee, and the dance orchestra conducted by Stanley Black. Now, this is Philip Slessor, and less I could not care.
Slessor!
For the 10th time this season, Much Finding takes the air. This is the London headquarters of Much Binding. At this time, we give you a chance of hearing the weekly newsletter before it's issued to the press and the BBC. The man who prepared it is ready and anxious to get it off his chest, so here it is, dictated to you by your old friend, Richard Murdoch.
Hello, customers. I'm still very impressed with being in London. It's going to take years for the novelty to wear off. Things are so well thought out, aren't they? I mean, back at Much Binding, when Costa boiled an egg, he used one of those egg timer things with sand in it. Now all he has to do is to look out of the window and watch the traffic lights. When he pops the egg in on the red, then he watches it go red and amber, green, amber, and back to red again, and it's done. It was very thoughtful of them to put them there, but unfortunately they broke down last Tuesday and they sent a policeman along instead. I'm sure he handled the traffic very well, but as an egg timer, he was a dead loss. But I must say, in some ways, London's far behind Much Binding. I went into an enormous post office in the West End last week to buy some stamps, and when I asked for a tin of baked beans and some matches as well, they said they hadn't got any. Mrs. Blackett has written to ask what we think of the possibility of her opening a branch of her village shop in London. She says she's heard that Bond Street is where the shops are and wants to know if it's handy for the station. She realises that window dressing would have to be slightly different and that as it's Bond Street, all she need put in the window would be a couple of stands, one containing a rasher of bacon and the other a bootlace. She suggests calling the shop Maison Plaquette. I can't think why. There's been quite a bit of business coming to the office lately. Last week, a client rang up and asked if we could send round to her house to do something about the drain. We sent Costa, full of confidence in his ability to deal with the situation, but were a bit upset when he brought them home to work on in the evening. We reprimanded him and he threatened to leave and go back to his old job singing on the radio. In fact, he's even gone as far as to ask me for a few tips on how to improve his putting. Then there's an old actor who lives upstairs, and the other day he was leaning out of the window rehearsing his part, and he had the misfortune to drop his false teeth down onto our balcony. He came to the door and he said, "I'm most frightfully sorry to disturb you, but unfortunately I dropped my dentures onto your balcony. Do you mind, frankly, if I just go and recover them? I know just where they are. It's all right. Oh, yes, here they are. I'm so keen to get them back because I find that I can enunciate so much better when they're in." And the people who live on the floor above that, do you know they're absolutely... come in. Ah, good morning, sir. It is good to see you all. Ah.
Good morning, Murdoch. Bah. How are things prospering? How's Brains Amalgamated London and Much Binding?
Oh, everything's splendid, sir. Bit fluffy tonight, but the inquiries are rolling in, you know. We've even had several requests for form L2C.
Which form is that?
It's for liberal peers who want to join the Conservative Party.
Murdoch, we mustn't get mixed up in anything political.
I agree, sir. That's why I'm also turning down this request for form LTL.
What's that?
For Labour MPs who want to leave the lobby. By the way, sir, this dictating machine is great fun. Do try it.
Oh, I'd like to, Murdoch. How does it work?
Well, sir, you switch it on, talk into here, and then you can play it back and hear your own voice.
Oh, wonderful invention. Let's have a go.
Wait a moment, sir. I must just take off the old cylinder. It's a bit of yesterday's dictation.
I'd like to hear a bit of that.
Oh, so no, it's just a bit of routine business stuff.
Never mind, Murdoch. Put it on. It'll give me an idea of the quality.
Well, all right, sir, but it's very boring, and it's really hardly worth the trouble of going to putting the thing on.
Yes, sir. We are in receipt of your... Miss Gibbs, please. We are in receipt of your communication. Oh, Miss Gibbs, leave me alone.
Stinker, you gorgeous boy. Don't talk into that silly old thing. Come to Gladys and Fred.
Miss Gibbs, please don't. Really, you'll drop me. Put me down.
Sir, I just told you it was purely routine stuff.
On the contrary, Murdoch, it's most interesting. It was that Noel Coward Gertrude Lawrence record from Private Lives, wasn't it?
Yes. Now, I'll just change the cylinder and you can try it.
Who make these machines, Murdoch?
The Humanavox people, sir.
Oh, didn't they make the Ark Royal?
No, sir, no. That was built by a little man on the Norfolk Broads.
Oh.
Now, sir, we're all ready for you. I'll switch on and you talk into there.
What shall I say, Murdoch?
Oh, anything, sir.
Right. Some weeks ago, I had the privilege of being shown over a large steelworks. And the efficiency of the place is something I would like to emphatically stress.
Yes, that'll do, sir.
Oh, pity I split that infinitive. I said to emphatically stress.
Never mind, sir. I'll play it back.
Right.
Yes.
Some weeks ago, I had the privilege of being shown over a large steelworks. And the efficiency of the place is something I would like emphatically to stress. But, Murdoch, I'm sure I split an infinitive.
Ah, that's the great advantage of these machines, sir. They correct one's grammar as well.
Good heavens, and can you sing into them too?
Oh, rather. Try it. We might as well use up the cylinder. Don't sing too loud, sir, in case it distorts.
I see, nice and mellow, eh?
Yes.
Well, give me a note, will you?
Right, sir.
Come, come, I love you only, my heart is true.
Yeah, that's lovely, sir. Nearly as good as Barbara Lee.
Oh, no.
Well, I think you'll be very pleased with the result, sir, when you hear it carry. Here we go.
Don't sing too loud, sir, in case it distorts.
Right. I see, nice and mellow, eh? Give me a note, will you?
Right, sir.
This is what I sing.
I love you only. My heart is true.
I say I have improved.
I must say, I thought you'd be very pleased with it. Come in. Ah, good morning. I'm glad to see you've brought your apparatus. It's the kitchen sink that's the worst. It's been completely bunged up ever since...
Yes, wait a minute. I'm not a plumber.
Well, what have you brought your suction pump for?
This isn't a suction pump, it's a trombone. I'm Don Binney of Stanley Black's band.
Really? What do you do, Don?
Well, I'm the guy that goes...
Oh, is that all you do?
No, after that I go...
Oh, but doesn't that get very boring?
Oh, no, because after that I go...
You must look forward to that bit.
Oh, I do. I certainly do. It's much more fun than going...
Yes, it must be. And what can we do for you, Don?
Well, Mr. Black sent me to ask if you'd like to listen to the band.
Oh, we'd love to. Lead the way, will you, Don?
Yes, by
the way,
like to listen to
what's that little tap at the bottom of the trombone?
Well, when I want to clean this thing out, I put a ferret down it. And if it gets caught in the band, I let it out here.
What happens if you blow the trombone when the ferret's still in it?
It plays the ferret's boat song, serenade.
No. That's not true, is it?
No.
No, I just made it up.
Oh,
man.
Don't die, don't know.
Nearly mucked it up. Morning, Mr. Black.
Morning, Mr. Black. We've got your ferret player here. He tells us you want us to hear something.
Yes, that's a plenty.
Is it? Oh, good show. Thank you, Mr. Black, thank you.
Very tuneful. Now, sir, we must get back to the office because... Oh, hello, Miss Catchyside. You're looking very well dressed. Are you happy in your work?
No.
Well, I expect you enjoy your evenings off, don't you?
No.
Haven't you got a boyfriend?
No.
Well, suppose I took you out one evening for a walk in the park. What would you say?
No.
Come on, Murdoch, you're wasting your time.
Apparently, sir, yes. Now, sir, take a seat. I'll get Costa to bring the mail in. Fred?
Yes?
Is Costa in the hall there?
No, no. As a matter of fact, he is not all there. What?
Well, where is he?
Oh, he is all here. And we are in the middle of a game of cards. Master Grit is not at home, Sam, but I will trouble you for Miss Bun, the baker's daughter.
Well, send him up, Fred.
Ho, ho, very good. Mr. Costa coming up. Cheery, ho, ho.
I say, sir.
Yes?
I heard the nightingale last week.
Really? What sort of a noise do they make?
Well, sir, the really young ones go sort of... Psh, 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 psh. But when their voices break and they get a bit older, you hear...
Good morning, sir. Was there something?
Yes, Costa, any mail?
Well, there's a postcard here from somebody who wants our advice about investing some money because he's just drawn a horse.
Who is it from?
Sir Alfred Munnings.
Tell him to hang the expense. Next?
There's a letter from somebody who wants us to help him raise £400,000.
And who's that?
A chap called Albert Hall. Oh, then there's a very curious one here from a woman who wants us to train her daughter in elocution and dramatic art as she wants her to go on the stage.
Well, that's right up our street, sir, isn't it? What have you done about it, Costa?
Well, I've asked her to send her daughter around here today so that we can size up her possibilities.
Yes, splendid idea. Has she sent a photo?
Oh, yes, sir, yes. I've got it here, but I can't quite make out which way up it should be.
Well, let's have a look. Oh, I hope it's not that way up, don't you, sir?
Yes, rather. Turn it the other way up. No, I prefer the first.
Well, never mind, sir. She's probably got a lovely voice.
Oh, I can teach her singing, sir.
Can you, Costa? What do you know about it?
Oh, I've played in a lot of operas. The Flying Dustman and that one... yes, and then I was in The Immortal Hour.
Were you? What part?
3:20. And do you know... Oh, only last week I was in Il Trovatore.
What did you do in that?
Oh, I was ill.
Costa.
Well.
Make up your mind. Did you know that I once nearly played in the opera Boris Godunov, sir?
Oh, why didn't you?
I wasn't good enough. It's not as funny as all that, sir.
No, is that one of Costa's about Peter Bruff and Pagliacci? Very apt. I like it.
Oh, you know, sir, let's try her out with a bit of Shakespeare.
Good idea. Does any particular passage strike you as suitable?
Well, sir, I thought that bit out of Henry IV that goes, "He that kills me some 6 or 7 dozen of Scots at a breakfast, washes his hands and says to his wife..."
Good morning, sir. Dudley Davenport at your service, huh?
Hello, Dudley. What can we do for you?
Well, sir, something dreadful's happened, sir. Nigel's disappeared, sir.
Who on earth is Nigel?
Well, my silkworm, sir.
Silkworm, Dudley?
Yes, sir. I was keeping him in a box so that when he turns into a cocoon, I shall be able to knit Miss Lee a pair of fully fashioned stockings, sir. It was going to be a surprise for her, sir, and now Nigel's gone.
But don't worry, Dudley. We'll help you find him.
Oh, thank you, sir.
But how can he have disappeared?
Well, sir, I punched some holes in the box to let a little chap have some air, and I'm afraid I must have made one of them too big, you see. I mean, I know he was there last night because... Last thing, I gave him some fresh mulberry leaves and changed his water. Now he's...
It's all right, Dudley.
No, but he's...
Dudley, don't blab.
Hmm?
We'll find him for you. Costa, you haven't seen a silkworm sculling around, have you?
You can search me.
Later, we haven't got a rake handy. Now, what does he look like, Dudley?
Well, see, he's a jolly good-looking little chap and a sort of whitish colour, and he's lovely and soft and cuddly, and when you hold him in your hand, he sort of curls up into
a... Yeah, but Dudley, you shouldn't do that. The heat of one's hand is too much for the... Isn't it, Murdoch?
I believe it is, sir, yes. Now, you don't think he's been bumped off, Dudley?
Oh, sir, that doesn't bear thinking about. That means he'd be a shot silkworm. Mm.
I tell you what, Dudley, we'll ring up the police. There's one thing I've always wanted to do, and that's dial 999 and see what happens. Haven't you, Costa?
Well, the last time I had a dial 999 was when I was whitewashing the ceiling and my braces caught in the chandelier and I was left hanging upside down, you see?
Well, what happened?
Well, I could just reach the phone, so I decided to dial 999.
And did you?
Well, no, sir, being upside down by mistake, I dialed 666, you know.
What happened then?
Well, instead of getting Scotland Yard, I got Scotland 2 feet.
Oh, Costa.
Well.
Well, now, quick, Maddox, dial 999 and see who answers.
Yes, right up. 999.
Jace?
Oh, sir, something must have gone wrong.
Well, try Whitehall 1212.
Whitehall 1212, yes, right up. WHI 1212.
Jace?
Oh, this is useless. Try dialing HIB.
Right, sir. What is it?
Hamfridge's Information Bureau.
Oh, yes, the very place. Hello, is that Hamfridge's Information Bureau?
No.
Well, look, perhaps your secretary has seen Nigel Murdoch.
That's the idea, sir. I'll get her in. Fred?
Scotland Yard to you, sir.
Oh, dear.
It's just my little joke, sir.
Yes, well, it's not funny. Do you know where Miss Gibbs is?
What? Gladys? Oh, well, she's here with me. We are just having a nice game of pontoon. Twist?
Well, ask her to come up.
Beg pardon, sir?
Ask Miss Gibbs to come up.
Oh, Miss Gibbs coming up. Your bust, Gladys. What?
Oh, do you know, talking about silkworms, sir, I knew a chap who used to collect sow's ears and make lovely silk things out of them.
Oh, were they purses?
No, they were Charlies, as a matter of fact. Charlie Silkin, his name was. He lived in a town that caught fire.
Really?
Yes, he got satellite.
Oh. Well, satellite than never. Come in.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Gibbs.
Good morning, Mr. Horn. Hello, Richard.
Miss Gibbs, Dudley's lost a silkworm. You don't happen to have seen one, do you?
Oh, Richard, you silly boy.
Murdoch, I think perhaps Costa and Dudley and I better push off and look for Nigel.
No, sir, please don't leave me.
No, it's quite all right, Murdoch. You won't want us here. We'll leave you and Mr. Murdoch to carry on, Miss Gibbs.
Oh, but
come on, Costa, Dudley.
Really, sir, please.
Hello, Richard.
Now, Miss Gibbs, I want you to take a letter.
Where to?
Very amusing, Miss Gibbs, I'm sure. Now, sit down.
Oh, but of course.
No, Miss Gibbs, over there.
But are you quite sure you wouldn't?
Quite sure, Miss Gibbs, I wouldn't. Now, I must fill in that form for my air passage to speak. That's Liverpool Airport.
All right, Richard. Now, where did I put that form? Oh, here it is.
An extraordinary place to keep it.
Well, I always believe in keeping a warm form.
Yes.
Now then, question number one.
You're not going to make a deliberate mistake, I hope, Miss Gibbs.
Oh. Colour of eyes?
Does that mean the pupil or the bloodshot bit round the edge?
I'll just put down sacks.
No, those are under the eye.
Well, blue then.
Yes.
Now then, weight?
What for?
Oh, you silly boy. I mean, how much do you weigh?
Oh, I see. I don't know. Let's make a guess. Well, put me down as... put me down, Miss Gibbs, please. I'm only...
But I'm only just guessing your weight.
Yes, but I didn't...
Murdoch!
Sorry, it's all right. Miss Gibbs is just weighing up to my form of passage for the... I'm going to speak, sir.
Well, I'm sorry. Oh, quiet, everybody, please. Mr. Murdoch's going to speak.
No, sir, no. I mean, well, I think I'll do it later, Miss Gibbs. I've got to fly to... I'll see you later.
And now, Miss Gibbs, I'm not at all satisfied with the way you've been carrying on.
But, Mr. Horn...
Murdoch is inexperienced, and he hasn't knocked about as I have, so I don't want you to... No, please, Miss Gibbs, no, it's no good trying to cajole me, and apart from that, your hands are very cold. And, come in. Oh, Miss Lee, I am glad to see you.
I do hope I'm not butting in.
On the contrary, Miss Lee, you're very welcome.
Well, I hear that I'm wanted to give some elocution and singing lessons to a young girl who's anxious to go on the stage.
Yes, that's right, Miss Lee.
Well, I'd very, very much like you to come and hear a song I'm rehearsing to see if you think it would be suitable to teach her.
But of course, Miss Lee, there's nothing I'd like better. Let's go along to the music room right away. I'm especially fond of the...
Oh, good morning, Mr. Horn. And I've just been telling Mr. Murdoch that I'm improving at my
show. Yes, splendid, Mrs...
Wimple.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I'm very busy just at the moment. I'll see you later, Mrs.
Wimple.
Yes, of course. Ah, there you are, Murdoch. Miss Lee is going to sing for us.
Oh, how nice.
Well, goodbye for now, Mrs.
Wimple.
Yes, of course. Oh, Mr. Black. Here's Miss Lee, and she's going to sing.
What are you going to sing, Miss Lee?
I'll follow my secret heart.
Oh, I'll be... I won't walk too fast.
Yes. And if your boys haven't got the music, they'd have to busk it, Mr. Black. Carry on, Miss Lee.
Don't be afraid I'll betray you and destroy all the plans you have made. But even your schemes must leave room for my dreams. For when all I owe to you is paid, I still have something of my own. A little prize that's mine alone. I'll follow my secret heart, my whole life through. I'll keep all my dreams apart till I'm through. No matter what price is paid, what stars may fade,
was delightful, Miss Lee.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was a question of singing that song or Slap Me Sister with a Strawberry Flan.
Oh, I'm so glad you chose. Come in. What is it, Costa?
Well, the young lady's come for the electrocution lesson, sir. Shall I bring her in?
By all means, Costa, I'll get the hot seat ready.
Very good, sir.
You know, sir, if she's as ugly as her photograph, I'll eat my hat.
Miss Potter, sir.
Pass the salt, sir.
Madam, that's my hat.
Well, it's delicious. Now then, Miss,
Potter. Attie Potter.
Attie Potter? What does she mean, Custer?
Attie Potter, sir. She's Betty Potter's daughter.
Yeah, that's her, Betty Potter's daughter.
All splitted.
What makes you think you'd be a good actress, Miss Potter?
Well, if you was to ask me...
Yes, I am asking you.
Well, my auntie reckons I'm cut out for it.
Cut out for it, yes. Well, we'd better let her recite a bit of patter, hadn't we, Costa?
Do you know any Shakespeare, Miss Potter?
Who's he?
Who's he? He's a writer. Proper poetical and very witty, too. Look, Miss Lee will read a bit for you, and then you can read it after. Can't read it myself. Try this bit, Miss Lee. It's from Two Gentlemen of Veronica.
All right, Mr. Costa. Who is Sylvia? What is she that all our swains commend her? Holy, fair, and wise is she, the heavens such grace did lend her, that she might admired be.
Oh, that's really nauseating. Now, Miss Potter, do it just like that.
Right, here goes. Who is Sylvia? What is she?
No, Miss Potter. Who is Sylvia? Who is Sylvia?
Well, who is she? I've never heard of her.
Well.
Now, Miss Potter, we'll soon knock the rough edges off you, and you'll be in the old Vic company in no time. Won't she, Costa?
Well, I'll have a word with Larry and Viv about her, if you like.
Personally, I think she'd be very suitable for the part of Elizabeth Barrett in the Barretts of,
Wimpole
Street.
Well, I'll see you all. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Wait, just a minute, Miss Potter. You've left your hat.
Well, has she? Yes, I like the trimming, Miss Potter, the flowers, and... Oh, look, good heavens, that bit's moving.
Oh, good gracious, that bit's Nigel. Nigel, Nigel, come to Uncle Dudley. I say, where have you been, you naughty silkworm?
Don't worry about that, Dudley. Perhaps he wants something to eat.
Oh, yes, sir. Here's a bit of mulberry leaf, Nigel. Now, eat it up. Not too quickly, now. Nigel! Now, Nigel... You know, you'll have to go to bed at once. Now, back in the box with you, Nigel.
Well, now, Murdoch, I don't think we need to keep Miss Potter any later, do you?
No, not unless she'd like to stay while we sing a little thing that goes, sell it, the artist.
At much.
Finding in the marsh.
At cooking, Mrs. Wimpole's a beginner. Diddling bang bang.
At much. Finding in the marsh. So last night we all went out for dinner.
Sam Costa had some winkles, they're the thing he likes the most.
And Dudley asked for salmon and then followed with the roast.
And Etty Potter ate a bit of buttered toast.
At much, finding in the marsh. At much, finding in the marsh.
We greet the ration changes that they make here.
At much, finding in the marsh. There's nothing now on points but Indian fakir.
But there's another benefit that rarely meets the bill.
Two extra pennyworth of meat will give us such a thrill.
Don't tell me that it's fresh.
No tin.
No, even better still.
At much, finding in the marsh. At much, finding in the marsh.
We bought a new electric stove for cooking.
At much, finding in the marsh. And wired it up when Costa wasn't looking.
But when he switched it on, the whole thing blew up in his face.
Then his moustache caught fire and flames enveloped all the place.
We promptly dialed the fire brigade, but all we heard was...
Jace!
At much, finding in the marsh, last verse, at much, finding in the marsh.
To Chelsea Flower Show, our way we wended.
At much, finding in the marsh. And everything we saw was simply splendid.
The flowers were all so beautiful that nobody could grouse.
We bought 83 red roses, but keep quiet as any mouse.
We're sending them on Friday with our love to Marlborough House.
From much, finding in the marsh, may we wish you. From much, finding in the marsh,
a happy birthday.
From much, two, three, four.
You've been listening to Much Biting in the Marsh with Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horne, Sam Costa, Maurice Denham as Dudley and Fred, Diana Morrison as Miss Catterside, Miss Gibbs, Mrs. Wimpole and Atty Potter, Barbara Lee and the Dance Orchestra conducted by Stanley Black. Script by Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne. Produced by Leslie Bridgemont.